This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4, IDN Technical and Operations, held on the 6th of March, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call as we have, Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you were only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Cheryl Lingdonor. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry, Cheryl Lingdonor, and Rubens. We've got our meeting number 8 running at 1500 UTC on the 6th of March for Sub-Pro Work Team 4, IDN, Technical and Operations. Today we're going to be looking at known collisions in particular. The agenda you will see on the Adobe Connect pod, agenda notes. Obviously the first thing I need to do is ask if any of you have an update to your statement of interest. Not hearing anybody. We'll move on. If we can just have the next slide, please, Terry. Thanks. The first thing we're then going to be looking at in today's call is an update from the full cross-community working group. And I note that Avery and Jeff are on the call, so who gets the short straw today?
Jeff, please, I'm not in a place where I can do it.
Okay, Jeff, you lose. Thanks, Avery.
Sure. That's okay. This is Jeff Newman. So a short update today, since we have a call in about 5 hours, I think, is the next full group call. It will be to finish going over the first reading of the CC2 questions. And a reminder that we have a full group call as well tomorrow. I believe it's at the same time. I have to take a look here on my schedule for the second full group call this week. And again, the goal of that one is to do a second reading and to have the CC2 out by hopefully late tomorrow night or early the Wednesday, so that everyone has it for Copenhagen. The it will not be out for public comment until after ICANN, just so that we don't, so people don't feel like they have less time to respond. So it'll be a long public comment period that'll go throughout the entire month of April, and I believe comments would be due somewhere around May 1st. So that's pretty much the update. There is a Work Track 3 call as well tomorrow at 10 a.m. at this time tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff, and yes, thanks for being from the Antipodeans. We get to have another 2 a.m. or equally unfriendly time of day call. Sorry, that's just a little aside from Cheryl, who's somewhat weary of all the 2 a.m. calls this work group is bringing into her life. However, enough of that. Let's get on to something far more exciting, known collisions. Can we have the next slide, please, Terry? And with this, I'm going to hand over to Rubens, and he's going to wrangle this particular topic. Over to you, Rubens.
Thank you, Cheryl. We'll ask you for the transcript. Today we'll be looking at specific topics in named collisions that are not related to collisions in subsequent procedures. These are two things that that are part of our charter. These are two things that are part of our charter, but they do not relate to named collisions in future TLDs. but in already delegated TLDs. And we divide them in two issues. One exists since the beginning of the domain name system, which is including legacy gTLDs, legacy ccTLDs, and basically since the invention of the DNS. And some of the we brought the three situations to focus the discussion. First situation is a user that uses an registered domain as a domain in its internal network. So he believes that no one will register a domain that's called your company name -internal.network.com and end up using that internally, and all of a sudden someone that realized that might go on and register that domain. That's one kind of situation that could generate name collisions in any TLD that we have. That's not a very usual one. One that is much more usual is the use of a DNS suffix list. A DNS suffix list is something that was kind of commonplace configuration in the 90s, not in this millennium, not in this century, but was actually used at that time. In order to speed up and ease up use of the system for users. So there were a good number of systems that were suffixed to, if they don't find the domain, they suffix it with .com or .net or something. And this could generate a collision where an internal domain like acme.corp, which was also common practice among network administrations, including because they were following documentation from Microsoft that actually suggested them, say, hey, don't register the domain, use your company name.corp. And now we know how a bad suggestion that was, but simply reality is not something that people imagine what would happen. And this could generate a good number of queries to a domain, for instance, cop.com. Cop.com is a real domain that was registered for a good number of years by Michael Connor, which we unfortunately couldn't get for this call today because he's retired, but this domain is currently under management of Jazz Advisors, the company that made the name collision report and framework for ICANN, so it's probably in good hands for now, and it was used to gather some of the data to make the name collision framework. So both these situations could happen. And the problem is we don't know before the fact that this could happen. We can only know after the fact that say, oh, that domain can be the subject of name collisions. So when come back to policy, that leaves us with two options. One is to maintain current policy, which does not specify anything regarding this type of collisions. But even though there is no specific policy power piece, there is the possibility of a registry filing an expedited security request to ICANN to say, hey, I know this domain or domain that could be registered or a domain that is already registered compose a security threat. And then you can ICANN agreement to ICANN approval to do something that would counter that threat. So even though we don't have a specific device to do that, we have avenues that are available to that end. But we could say that contracted parties would have some kind of contractual obligation to deal with those situations, which would mean to an avenue that say that would establish that in a consensus policy, say, oh, this is happening, you have to take away the domain, shut down the domain, or something. So the question for the group is, do we believe that this would be demanded in a consensus policy, or do we believe that what we have today is enough to deal with those issues? So what we ask here is for people to use the Adobe Connect feature of green tick or red tick and say who agrees and who disagrees. And if anybody wants to speak also, please raise up your hands.
Ruben Cheryl here. Perhaps if you just frame the specific question for the red or the green tick, I'm assuming you would rather us you would rather us find out from the group if they agree or disagree with the statement, possible threat does not warrant policy change. Think if that then leaves people a yes or a no. So tell me if I'm wrong, but as I understood it, what we're asking is, do you agree or disagree with the statement, possible threats do not warrant policy changes?
Yes.
So if you agree,
yes,
agree, and if you disagree, a red cross. And there we go. We have a question. Let's go to our research. Avery, you have the floor. We just can't hear you at the moment.
Yeah, no, sorry. Sorry, this is Aubrey, and I had to get unmuted. Now, when we say no policy changes, we have no policy. Is that correct? So what we're saying is we accept the policy of the NGPC since there was no GNSO policy, and we are, by not changing it, basically, we're making a specific statement of endorsing their policy. Is that, I'm just trying to understand, since there is no GNSO policy on this, and even the NG, you know, PC policy was, so it's basically a status quo for board-generated policy. Okay, that's what we're asking people not to object to. Got it. Thank you.
Hi, Abby. Rubens here. Actually, NGPC policy only applied to the 2012 round GTLD. And this is us discussing main collision legacy GTLD. So we actually don't have any policy demanding anything from contracted parties, from registries and registers at this time. So what would be a green is that keep not having such policy, but still allowing expedite with security requests, which could be made on registered discretion, possibly registered as well, but I'm not familiar with enough with registered policy on this. Thank you. Want to comment again, Alvin?
Yeah, I do. I put my hand up. Okay. So we should be explicit in it in the statement that says, you know, that this does this specifically, we specifically do not carry forward the NGPC policies for the 212 round and return to the absence of policy. Now, I'll be curious to see how the board takes that statement, but I just think we need to be explicit that if we're not carrying through theirs, we explicitly state such. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. I have some comments in the chat by Jeff Newman and Dietmar. Jeff mentioned that the burden right now of the downside because of collision is pretty high. Then was not has any name actually been taken down? No. There is no actual takedown, but there are some registries that changed the controlled interruption procedures. But this was actually the thing for the 2012 part of our discussion. So I think we have to mention NGPC, which also didn't cover legacy DTLDs. And this, if we are would be to make some change, this would apply to Quark.com or AOL.com or ICANN.org. So this is still in the realm of all GTLDs, not specific to 2012 round GTLDs, and also not mentioned subsequent procedures. But the ongoing mention to the NGPC issue probably implies that the group needs to better consolidate the understanding of what is being asked before answering. So we should probably table that for now. So if you move on to the next slide, which is also in the realm of legacy DTLDs, and this was one of the issues that were mentioned by UHTLG registries is that many collisions occur almost every day in the GTLD space due to domain expiration. So let's say I own a domain name and I use that domain name both in my internal network. And I have that domain registered, so covers external facing of that domain. And then all of a sudden I let that domain expire. And someone else, probably not well intentioned, registered that domain. Or simply see that domain in a drop catch list and find it to be a nice investment opportunity and buys it and parks it and that this possibly is something that a user already has working. So the question for this situation is whether we believe that current policies for domains that expire, which includes the expired domain deletion policy and expired registration recovery policy, which although people probably you must remember by name. The second policy is the one that specified redemption grace periods. And redemption grace periods are one of the tools used in the domain lifecycle so that users that let their domains expire by mistake can get their domain back in a period of time, usually a month. Note that although that is, it's called a policy, that policy specifies how a redemption grace period should work and not that redemption grace period should exist. It's not an obligation for a registry to offer redemption grace period, although I have no recollection of any open registry that actually doesn't have registry grace period. I know some brand TLDs that do not implement registry grace period, but those TLDs are very tightly controlled namespaces where if that domain expires, you will probably really want that to expire. So the discussion here for this situation is whether we think those policies are enough to counter the threat that someone will register previously register domain and get some of the requests and possibly attempt to use some misconfiguration in the previously registered network, or if you believe that some kind of revision to those policies are warranted. What is the group taking on this? So the phrase here to agree to would be that those the possible threats on this does not warrant policy changes. We are happy with the expired domain deletion, expired registration recovery policies to cover for those cases, or no, we should do something else, go somewhat extra mile to protect users from this specific threat. Jeff Newman mentioned that we have several decades of living expired domain deletion, expired registrations without much data on any collision causing any significant issue. That's true. Although the discussion of what name collisions are may have generated new attention to this. So the fact that I can discuss this a lot because of the DTLD program, not because of legacy DTLDs, could have brought some light into this threat vector. So it's possible that malefactors that previously were not unaware of this vector are now aware of them and could use them to exploit unwilling and innocent networks in that regard. So, yes, we don't have any history to say that this has ever been done to any network at all. That's true, Jeff. So when it takes on using a dead connect for saying yes, we think that's enough, or no, we think we should do something different.
Ruben, Cheryl again. Jeff just mentions that in the chat, no policy change at this time is warranted. I must say my personal opinion is that the status quo is just fine. Did you want us to indicate with the Adobe Connect green and red on that statement then, or what did you want us to do if we have no further discussion?
So far, you only have seen people agreeing with people keeping this policy. So if all agree, we assume that we all agree, and then we have some dreams appearing. I happen to also agree that this also does not warrant any policy changes. So for now, we take the work for positions that there is nothing to do here. That's not to say that this problem does not exist. It does. We have to say that we are comfortable with what is being done now to address it. So we can move now to the next topic, which is a more familiar topic to people with the main collisions in the current round of GTLB, the 2012 rounds, where we had the main collision framework established by NGPC. And there is one specific question in our charter that we have to later answer. There is one mistake in this line here. There was a placeholder for the current number of collision reports that managed to get to ICA, but we didn't manage to get the current number, which I believe it was the vicinity of 2 dozen or something of reports of any type of report, of which none were done to be threatening to human life. So if I can put Frank on the spot, see if she has updated info on this, do you, Frank? She thought that she doesn't. But as far as I remember, because I asked this specific question to Dave Conrad in our committee, it was in the vicinity of 2 dozen of reports, which is that none of them qualified to be current and imminent threat to human life, which was the criteria established in the main collision framework for ICANN to request an immediate response, immediate in 2 hours for that to change. But there are also some collisions that could be discovered by a registry and not communicated to ICANN. There was at least one occurrence I know of a TLD that could implement controlled interruption, because if that registry did that, one specific and very common application stopped working. So I don't know how they are handling now, probably waiting for that application vendor to update their software so they can at least begin controlled interruption. But the question we have on the charter for us is that whether the 2002 round registries should extend that support for responding to many collisions beyond 2 years of delegation, which is what is currently in the frameworks. So one possibility is no. The lack of any occurrence at all that qualifies for that supports the idea of time limiting those procedures, which was what was baked into the original framework. So we should let it expire after 2 years of delegation, or on the other hand, if we believe that registries should extend such support beyond the 2 year period. So So any takers on any of those two options, whether we should let this procedure expire at 2 years, or whether we want, we think there is a pressing need for keeping that? No, but this specific question only applies to 2002 round GTLDs.
Yeah.
The only ones with whether this control is currently implemented. And there are some that probably already are crossing year or already went through their 2 year period and are not longer obligated, but that possibly a minority.
Reuben, Cheryl here. I just wanted to make the point that the chat that was running between Edmund and I was actually with reference to the legacy stuff, not the 2012 round. Just so we don't muddy the water there between the audio record and the chat record. I always liked it when chat actually had time markers in it. It makes it easier if you're ever comparing material and interactions on the chat with the actual audio record, which some people do. It's actually quite useful sometimes. Anyway, I mourn the fact that we don't do that for whatever reason. But I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that the current round, the 2012 round, is a different situation, and that's what you're calling for at the moment, is discussion and then opinion on whether or not we agree with the statement that the occurrence experience does not warrant creation of policy to override what is in the agreements. Thanks.
And Reuben, this is Terry. If you're speaking, we're no longer hearing you.
Not speaking at this moment, Terry, just waiting for people to either position themselves if they can or ask questions on how to take them.
Well,
Reuben,
show off the record. We've only managed to force one other agreement between you and I agreeing. So I don't know whether you want to table this or accept the lack of complaint about the statement. I mean, if we've tabled the earlier one, we could table this one again and come back to it, but we have only managed to get Roger to agree with a green tick.
And if you are listening, please, a recording, we suggest you put your agreement or disagreement in the mailing list so we can also compute it as well. So, that's what we had for the main collisions topics for this call. So we have some backup slides of what we discussed so far including previous consensus calls on technical capability, technical evaluation, and the question is whether any of those topics are of interest in someone that is currently in the call and would like to talk about more of this, or if not, we can postpone the discussion to Copenhagen. Hope that I'm pronouncing it correctly, trying to learn that before I get there. So, I'm just passing through the slides just to see, just so people can see some of the issues that we have been through, to see if we have anyone wanting to discuss some of those issues. So, as it seems none so far, we can go back to Cheryl for any other business.
Oh, thank you. We might give some people back some time if there isn't any other business. Is there anyone with any other business? Rubens, I'm not hearing anybody or seeing anything in the chat, other than people who are saying they don't have any other business. One thing I would be interested to know is how many of the people who are currently on this call from our work team, if you could just indicate with a green check, if you are able to do so, if you are going to be attending the Copenhagen meeting and we'll be meeting you face-to-face. Just nice to know what our strengths are going to be. Oh, that's a pretty good lineup. Excellent. Great. Thanks for that. That was a piece of impromptu any other business for me. And I look forward, as Ruben says, to meeting up with a number of you then from this work track to further our discussions in the Copenhagen meeting. With that, we come towards the close of our call, noting that we do have a call in now, I think it's 4 hours and 20 minutes with the plenary. And so I trust that most of you will be able to attend that call as well. If not, we will be meeting you next during the Copenhagen meeting on the Saturday, which I believe on memory serves will be the 11th of March. Please tell me I'm correct if I am and wrong if I'm not. And obviously in the subsequent days. So for those of you who are on the run, thanks Jeff, yes, Saturday morning, as long as it's the 11th of March, I'm okay. For those of you who are travelling to Copenhagen, Rubens and I would like to wish you safe travel. I'm going to give you back a full 20 minutes of your lives, which I'm sure if you're getting ready to travel, later on this week, I assume, you would appreciate it in your calendars and look forward to meeting you all again shortly. I'd like to thank staff and thank all of you for attending, and in particular, thanking Rubens for taking us through further discussions on particularly known collisions for today's call. We will come back to those tabled points, so it would be a good idea if you thought them over. With that, we can close off the meeting and finish the recording. Thank you one and all, and bye for now.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.